The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
I'm going to tell you now about the second year of a lovely charity event that kicks off in Kilkenny next month. It's the brainchild of the Manickle family, who are passionate cyclists and triathletes. They are Sean and Cora, and they are parents to Max, who's 7, and Sophia, who is 6. And they're balancing home life, self-employment, and being active members of Down Syndrome Ireland as well as trying to do some cycling. But because of their involvement with Down Syndrome Ireland, they've come up with this cycling idea. And Sean joins me on the Sunday Grill this morning to tell us more. And I hear you're the brainchild, Sean. Is that right?
Well, Orla, first of all, thank you very much for having me on. Yeah, it's great to be here talking to you today. This Saddle Up for Down Syndrome idea, actually, you know, I was involved in the Tour de Munster, actually, for the last number of years. And the guy there, Paul Sheridan, and he's organizing that event, which raises over $500,000 every year for Down Syndrome Munster. And I suppose that's where the idea originated, then, to get us started up in Kilkenny here, and we set up and got it going here with the help of a really, really good bunch of people that have absolutely nothing to do with the Down Syndrome community, but it's that wider community, like the likes of Mark Gaffney, our race director, and we've Joe Nolan involved there, and we're involved with the Zurich Foundation have got involved with us, and they're match funding every euro we raise on this. They're match funding it for Down Syndrome Kilkenny, which is hugely appreciated. Brilliant. Like, and we raised over 70,000 last year.
Which is amazing on your first year. And tell us, what does that money go towards then?
Oh well, like it's really expanded what we can dream and what we can do with the branch. Like, and it's fantastic because we've just starting this year now on the strength of the success of last year. We're starting an after-school program, which is starting on the 7th of May, and we've our first a bunch of kids enrolled into that already. So we're really excited about that getting up and running. Like, and we'll have a speech and language therapy. There'll be some play therapy involved, and there's just going to be a nice community feel to that, and just somewhere for the kids to go after school as well. Like, so we're really excited about that getting up and going, but the money is going to so much things. Like, we're doing therapeutic horse riding. There's Easter camps and summer camps, which are fantastic. Like, because they're designed specifically, you know, for the kids, and it's got, you know, some, you know, additional supports there to help and guide the kids so they can have lots of fun and games and everything. And one of the big things we're doing at the branch as well is the swimming that goes on every week. The kids really enjoy that, and the young adults as well. So that's fantastic.
Like,
and loads more stuff as well, Orla. Yeah.
Brilliant. Can we talk a little bit about your family then, Sean? Because you have 2 kids, don't you?
I have 2 kids. And well, Max was born, he's 7 years of age now. And he really bounced into our world. And, it's been a roller coaster ride since. And then Sophia came just over 14 months later.
Wow.
And,
so very close in age.
Very close in age, and we've had some crack and fun with them since, like, yeah. And
and Max was born with Down syndrome, is that right?
Max was born with Down syndrome, like, yeah. And he's full of personality and life. Anyone that'll meet Max, they generally don't forget him. He makes himself known to anyone he meets. He's full of life. But I suppose what we've realized is that, I suppose, Max does need additional assistance and care to unlock his potential, because he's got a massive potential, and it's just that extra little bit of assistance and help it multiplies so much more. That's where, like, the Saddle Up for Down Syndrome event and raising this money is so important for us, like, to have them additional supports and additional help that are there to help us to give Max and other kids and young adults in Kilkenny that little bit of assistance that helped to reach their potential. And I suppose one of the big things, like, you're talking about our own family, and, you know, like, we feel blessed to have, you know, a healthy and well family. Everyone is in good form, and lovely atmosphere in the house and everything. And we're just we feel blessed, and we just want to, I suppose, it's just, what we find is just raising that awareness as well, that, you know, that to others in the wider community, that, you know, that the potential for MACs, a lot of it comes from, you know, the perception of others. And we find that, you know, we've high expectations for MACs, like, you know, and we want to raise the expectations of others to have high expectations for MACs too, and our other kids and young adults, that they have that capacity to really contribute to society, to really to work and to be part of the community and that. And the more we can support them, particularly at the younger age, like, the more of a key part they become of our society. So it's trying to I suppose raise that message for everyone else out there to dream big for our kids,
of course,
to have ambition for them, and to really to lift their expectations of what they can do and what they're capable of as well.
So Max is 7. So what era is he in now? Has he left his Paw Patrol era? What's he loving these days?
Well, he does love Paw Patrol.
Does he?
Still loves Fireman's Dam, and Bluey is always a big hit.
Bluey is huge these days. Oh, I know. Bluey is also for adults, I think.
Yeah, Bluey. I'm a big fan of Bluey now as well. Like, yeah. So I'm glued to Bluey as well. Like, yeah. But I find that I'm doing a lot of the things that Bluey's dad does as well. Like, so I'm So it's a big hit. Like, I'm a Max is a tickly pillow a lot of the time. Anyone that's a Bluey fan knows what's going on there. Like,
And are they pals then, Max and Sophia? Do they get on so well since they're so close in age?
Oh my God, they're absolutely the best of pals until something goes wrong, and then they're a loggerhead together, and they do fight, but they do make up very quickly again, like any siblings, like,
of
and
course.
So they're as thick as thieves in time, and they're worse enemies in time, but they get on get on brilliant, and they're fantastic. And Sophia is she's full of personality as well, and she's willing to she's really the boss in the house, like, and keeps things going for us all there. Like, but she's
good stuff.
She's fantastic. She's a fantastic child.
Brilliant stuff. Well, look, will we talk about this cycle, because you kind of thought of all bases here. It's on Sunday on May the 11th. So you've about, well, you have exactly 4 weeks to train if you even want to start off this, because you've different abilities and 3 scenic routes in County Kilkenny in total. It's all starting from Danesforth JA Club, though, isn't it, on that Sunday on the 11th of May?
Yeah, Catherine, the chairperson in Danesforth GAA Club, has been absolutely immense in supporting us, like, and letting us start the cycle out there. And it's a fantastic facility out there. They're after building a big clubhouse out there at the moment, and it's a fantastic facility. Now, there will be, on the day, there'll be a soft play area, there'll be ice cream vans, there'll be food trucks, there'll be a DJ playing, and a lovely family atmosphere out there. So anyone like that's around Kilkenny on the 11th of May, just get down to Danesforth. Like, and we're also hoping to be in association with a cycling week as well. Like, so Kilkenny County Council are have been in contact with us to get involved to help us in creating some sort of fun event around cycling down there as well. That, but the event itself, there's a 105k route, which is for maybe the more seasoned cyclists, a 65k route, and there's a 45k route. But there's a number of stops along the way, and it's very, very social. You know, so no matter what your ability is, you can pull in, have a few sandwiches or a cocktail sausages or whatever it is. There'll be loads of food. That was a big success last year. Like, there was everyone really enjoyed the food and the social interaction, and it was a really, really fun day out down there. Like, yeah, so
good stuff. It's great stuff.
The cycle itself, it is amazing. The scenery just going around Kilkenny and around the county. It's just it's just a fantastic day out. Like, so if you want to bring the family down, or you want to bring a bunch of your friends down for a cycle and some food and a bit of crack, that's the place to come to on the 11th of May. And every euro that's put in, every euro that people that people spend or enter into, it's €45 to enter the race through Eventbrite. if they want to, if you just Google Eventbrite, Saddle Up for Down Syndrome Kilkenny, you get onto the page there and you put in your entry there, and that's match funded by the Zed Zorich Foundation then as well. Like, so it's a massive, massive help to us at the branch, and it's just a lovely, lovely community day as well down in Kilkenny.
Brilliant stuff. And as you said, all that money goes towards lots of different activities and after school and stuff like that for Down Syndrome Ireland. The website, as you said, is eventbrite.ie. It is Down Syndrome Kilkenny. Saddle Up for Down Syndrome Kilkenny 2025 is how you'll find more details. You could do the 45K. You could even do the 105K if you wanted to. And then there's a middle ground of 95 kilometres as well. And all, of course, that is all on the bike. Sean, thanks a million for joining me this morning. Say hello to Max and Sophia for us. Thanks a million for talking to me this morning.
Sure, thank you.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
It's a Sunday morning here on Beat and it's the Easter holidays. Hurrah! If you're one of the lucky ones with 2 weeks off, then I got you covered in chocolate, because the Chocolate Garden of Ireland have lots going on. And what is probably their favourite holiday of the year? Mary Healy is the matriarch of the Chocolate Garden of Ireland in County Carlow, and she joins me with all the details on chocolate on the run up to this Easter Sunday next week. You're very welcome, Mary.
Good morning, Orla. Lovely to be with you today.
Lovely to talk to you. You must be especially busy at this time of year, are you?
Absolutely. Yes, yes. It's all go.
Good stuff. And Easter is falling very late this year. So is the prep, the run up to the prep a bit longer? How does that work for you?
Yeah. Actually, probably the 20th of April is the latest we can have a Easter Sunday. And last year it was probably as early as it goes. It was the end of March.
Oh, yeah.
So we always like a late Easter because it gives us a longer run to get our product out to stores and for people to come and do activities, and the weather's getting nicer. And then for us, from a kind of a sales perspective as well, there's a little bit of a lull after Easter. So the later that comes before, you know, it makes it a shorter time before the summer kicks in.
Of course, because you only have, what, about 6 weeks then, and then summer starts. It all exactly, snowballs and then we're into Halloween candy or Halloween sweets up to Christmas as well. So you're dictated by a sweet calendar, are you?
Exactly. Yeah. No, chocolate is super busy probably from August till Easter. So the later Easter can go, the better
for
us.
For you. Okay, perfect. Do you have best sellers at the Chocolate Garden at Easter? Is there something that people come back for every year?
We have obviously salt caramel, mint crisp, orange crisp. This year, big hit is Dubai chocolate. We also have a really good no added sugar chocolate. Mm-hmm. So people come specifically for that too. And then we do personalised eggs. So you can get your name piped on an Easter egg. And that's really popular because I don't think there's too many people doing that. So we pipe it on with chocolate with our master chocolatiers, you know, writing on it. And it's a lovely, lovely finish.
Now, we spoke a few weeks ago about your Dubai chocolate and you sent some to the broadcast centre here. And it's a very specific consistency, which I'd say it's hard to put into a chocolate egg. How does that work then?
It is. It's actually quite soft. Mm. Yeah, pistachio is, it's quite soft. So it's not an easy thing to work with. A lot of our fillings we would leave to set and they would set a little bit firmer, and then it's easier to close them in, to seal them in, to maintain the softness within. Whereas the pistachio kind of stays soft. So it makes it that little bit trickier. And that's probably that's one of the reasons why it's quite expensive, but the ingredients themselves are really expensive.
Okay.
So because we're gluten-free here, we make our own kind of Irish twist on it. Mm-hmm. And we use honeycomb for crunch instead of the kataifi pastry, and it's superb.
Okay.
And we use really, really high grade pistachio, 100% pistachio paste mixed with tahini.
Okay.
And it just gives a beautiful flavour and crisp and texture. It's all going on. It's a real symphony of flavours.
And is it still a hollow egg then? There's just pistachio within it?
Yes, it is. What we do when we're making the Easter egg is we kind of, if you like, paste it inside the hollow shell.
Okay.
We give it a few minutes, and then we will pour in chocolate and seal it in and roll it around to seal in the chocolate.
Oh, wow. So almost like a double layer.
To seal in the filling with the chocolate.
Nice.
It's a double layer, yeah. So it's not necessarily pretty or smooth.
I'm okay with not pretty.
Super tasty.
Yeah, yum. Okay, so that, and is that doing well for you? Have people been buying that yet?
It is expensive. It is expensive, so it's not going to be running out the doors. But it really is that the egg to have this year.
Okay,
our sells at €45 on our website. There's more expensive than that. Let me tell you. But it's really like such a sensation, and it's a beautiful thing to experience, the Dubai chocolate. It's a really nice taste.
If you have been enjoying the Dubai chocolate and you've someone in your life you'd like to hint to for the Dubai chocolate egg, chocolategarden.ie to have a look at that. Do you have any massive eggs?
We have. Oh. We have an egg that's about 20 kilos.
Oh.
So that's an awful lot of 50 gram bars, let me tell you. So the 20 kilo egg is about 3 foot tall by about 18, 20 inches wide. It's really, really big. And then, of course, you have to have a box to put it in, or a basket or something underneath. So it is a real wow factor to see it. And those eggs we always decorate really nicely for extra effect.
And
wouldn't sell a huge number of them.
Oh, but it does sell, does it? Would a couple of people buy it?
Yeah, generally it would be hotel for a centerpiece, or maybe for a huge raffle, or it might be a very speciality shop who want to make a wow factor. You have a wow factor in their premises.
And is that milk chocolate then?
Milk chocolate is the most popular still, and that we make it in milk. Well, I mean, we can make it in anything you want, but how many would you like, Orla?
I think I'd take 2. 40 kilograms of chocolate would possibly get me through Easter.
Yeah.
You'd really have to keep that away from the pets, wouldn't you? Because chocolate isn't the greatest for dogs.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Chocolate Garden of Ireland. You'll probably know that it's there outside Tullow in County Carlow, beside Rathwood. That's right, isn't it, Mary?
That's correct. You've
been there since what, 2009, were you saying?
We were here since 2009, and we were 8 years in existence before that in Baltinglass. So we always had it in mind to move, and we built the premises here right beside our home.
Uh-huh.
There was a patch of land, and it originally had mushroom tunnels, so I think it was always destined for food production.
Okay. Yeah.
So we built our premises on that ground, and we also, like, it enabled us to open our doors and have workshops here.
Uh-huh.
And to have a bigger space for a little shop. We had a tiny shop in Baltinglass, and literally it would hold one person at a time, walk in, reverse out. Uh-huh. So we have more space, more facilities here now. And we've actually opened a second shop just in October last, down at Kilkenny.
Oh, lovely.
And we're starting events there next Thursday.
And is that in Kilkenny City?
That's on High Street, Kilkenny.
On High Street. Brilliant. With workshops there as well then?
Yes. Now we're probably going for a little bit, like we do all ages here.
Yeah.
But we're focusing maybe on age 15 plus.
Okay, great.
In Kilkenny. It's a smaller venue, and our first event there is going to make your own chocolate box.
Oh, brilliant.
So
dare I say hens would like that, Mary?
What? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So we're very excited about that.
Why chocolate? Because I'm thinking back to the early 2000s. I don't think we were known for the land of chocolate, were we? Like, how did this all start for you and your family?
Well, Jim and myself always had it in mind to start a business together. So it literally could have been anything. It could be tourism, but we both had an interest in food and I think tourism. So it happened, the opportunity arose to buy waffle making equipment in 2001. And that came our way. So we went off to Holland to learn how to make waffles. And how the chocolate came about was we bought equipment to put chocolate onto the waffles because everybody in Ireland loves chocolate. So when we bought that equipment, we started kind of playing with it and saying, what else can we make and what do we need? And talking to people who had been in the chocolate business and maybe had some molds to sell. So we learned, we felt our way along, and we bought molds. We started making chocolate products, and we had a real keen value on quality and taste, and that has stood to us, and we've never mm-hmm. compromised on the quality of our chocolate since the beginning. Mm-hmm. So we found that the biscuits were selling fine and the chocolates were selling better. Yeah. So obviously there was a message there, and we started out our existence as Wicklow Fine Foods with a view to diversify. Mm-hmm. And then we created the brand, the Chocolate Garden of Ireland, to reflect our location in County Wicklow.
And you're still here.
And we're still here.
Bigger and better. It's such a great story. And, you know, like, as you said, workshops, and you have lots going on the run up to Easter. Probably the best place for kids to go, as you said, is to your yep. original venue just outside Tullow. And you have everything from yes. Easter egg making. The Easter bunny will be there as well, I hear.
The Easter bunny makes rare appearances, but he's very busy. So you would get to see him, say, on Wednesday after the full workshop.
Okay.
We do chocolate making sessions daily, and they can be booked online on chocolategarden.ie. And we also have an hour and a half long workshop, which is a more in-depth a session where you have interpretation, you've tastings, you've hands-on session as well, and you get a demo on how we make different chocolate products. So the bunny, he will be there after that one.
Okay, good stuff. All right, well, we'll look out for him. So lots going on in the Chocolate Garden on the run-up to your busiest time of year, which of course is Easter. chocolategarden.ie. And Thursday, you said, is when the Chocolate Garden shop on High Street in Kilkenny is opening up.
That's well, the shop
it's open already.
Is open
Sorry,
all
so
the time.
It
does close on Tuesdays, but we are very excited about the events to start Thursday evening.
Brilliant stuff. And you can check that out as well on chocolategarden.ie, Mary.
Yeah, brilliant. That's right, Orla. Thank you.
Okay, thanks so much for talking to me this morning. I hope you're probably looking forward to a massive holiday post-Easter. So enjoy the downtime. I know you're very busy at the moment.
Try and get a day or two somewhere.
Thanks, Mary. Lovely to talk to you.
Thank you, Orla. Thank you. Bye-bye.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Let's talk alpacas. Not to be confused with llamas, of course. And you might have seen in the news a couple of weeks ago a number of alpacas making their way down a nursing home in County Wexford. Well, they are owned by a man called Joe Phelan. He's based in County Wicklow, and he's on the line this morning to tell us more about it. You're very welcome to the Sunday Grill, Joe.
Good morning, Orla. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Can you tell us, because I do think we get very confused between alpacas and llamas, don't we? What are the differences?
Oh, yes, yes. Like, alpacas, llamas and camels are all of one family.
Okay.
So alpacas are the smallest in the family, and they have, I consider, the best temperaments, you know. So the llamas are a bit bigger. They might stand at about 6 or 7 foot at the head, whereas the alpacas stand about 4 foot at the head. And the llamas are much bigger animals, you know, so they'd be 2 to 3 times bigger than an alpaca.
Okay.
And they're used as beasts of burden, so they're used to carry things, whereas the alpacas are bred mainly for their fibre, for their lovely wool.
Oh, lovely. Okay. And you weren't tempted, obviously, to bring camels over to County Wicklow, were you?
Oh, I was somewhat tempted, yes.
You were tempted.
I am, yes, yeah. Just so then I have alpacas, because I do have two llamas, which we got last year as a rescue. And, you know, we have 71 alpacas on the farm and two llamas. And we like to show the people, you know, everybody the difference between an alpaca and a llama. So
next stop, camels. Okay.
Yes, well, you know, it's kind of in the back of my mind, okay. Right?
So if anyone has a camel that Joe could adopt, we'll put the call out for
yes,
you.
I'm here. Yeah.
So tell us about heading to a nursing home in Cortown in County Wexford. How did this idea come about?
Oh, yes, Orla. Like, this all originated from our alpaca and Prosecco treks, which are very popular, you know, and we do our treks all year round. And also we do a kids alpaca experience where the kids get in with the alpacas and get to get their photos and selfies with, and feed them, you know. So what we noticed during these treks and these kids alpaca experience that we had children and adults, for example, with special needs. And the alpacas seemed to bond with them in a way that we found both heartwarming and unusual, you know. And, you know, children with autism, adults and children with special needs, Down syndrome, and so on. So the alpacas have a sixth sense, and they seem to, as I say, are able to relate to people a lot better than we do. So that was one area that we saw expanding, and we started doing therapeutic work then on the farm where we are here. And then that kind of led into care home visits. Now, we didn't advertise for this. It was just people on the farm saw what we were doing and saw the reaction that we were getting from both everybody, not only special needs, but also everybody who comes to visit us. They always leave with a smile on their face.
Oh, how lovely.
Yeah, I know. We find that, you know, that's the rewarding side of our business, you know. But like we saw, for example, that these children with special needs were able to come out of themselves, you know, and relate to the animals. And the animals allowed that, you know. And the alpacas seem to allow, let's say, those with more severe disabilities, who do all the wrong things, by the way, you know, they leave out loud screeches and jerky movements, which normally startles them, but they didn't react to that, you know.
Anyway, so you headed to the nursing home, and like,
yes,
how did the ladies and gentlemen at the nursing home react to the alpacas?
Well, that is, yeah, we had some people who worked in nursing homes who asked us to come down and visit. So we said we would, and we picked out two of the boys and off we went.
Okay. And what were the names of the boys that you picked out? There was Stan and...
Well, we have a bunch of boys that do these visits, you know. So, for example, Paddy and Oscar, they're pals, so they always go together. Then we have Stan and Frank, or another two boys.
Okay.
And they go together, you know. So we work according to the alpacas and who they're pals with.
Okay. So off Stan and Frank did they, to Cortown?
We never go with one. Yes.
Okay.
We never go with one. We always take two.
Good stuff. So tell us, you headed to the nursing home. What was the reaction?
So when we went in, we visit. We spend no more than an hour and a half. We feel that's enough for the alpacas, because we always work from their welfare backwards. So what we do was we meet the residents in the common room, or the, you know, the open area, and we get around and meet each resident individually. And we give everybody individual time with the alpacas. And, you know, you can actually see everybody's eyes light up. You know, you see them becoming animated, and it really lifts everybody's spirits. And as I said, not only the residents, but the staff and visitors as well, you know. and then for those people who might not be able to get down to the common area, we can visit them in their room. And we have lots of really positive stories. Like, so for example, this man, and he just wouldn't come out of his room. And this was the staff telling us. But when the alpacas were there, he came out to meet them, you know, which is lovely.
That's fab. Yeah. Really nice. Yeah. So are Stan and Frank good then when it comes, like, if they, with toilet training and stuff being indoors?
Oh, yes. Like the boys are very good. They tell me if they want to go to the toilet. So then I'll take them outside, and they can go to the toilet.
But what do they do? Do they give you a nudge, or what do they do?
Yeah, like there's little signs, there's tell signs that they tell me, you know. So, and you know, once I see those signs, then, you know, basically they're telling me that, oh, I want to get out, you know. So,
good stuff. It sounds like you love them, Joe. Do you?
Oh yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. That's just because we know our alpacas so well. You know, not all alpacas would be suitable for care home visits, for example. So we pick the guys that we know would be suitable.
So yeah. Tell us how this all started for you, Joe, because you weren't always farming, were you?
No, and I'm not. I don't regard myself as a farmer, really. Okay. You know, so even though I have a 90-acre farm here, it's been a steep learning curve. But I know, like it is. It kind of originated out. There is a farm in our family, which I wasn't born or raised on, by the way. And the farm was left to my dad. And I worked in financial services all my life for 39 years. So, and this farm was rented out. So I said, I hated to see that, because it's been in our family we can trace it back 470 years. So, you know, I was thinking to myself, how could I get this farm up and running? But I quickly found out you couldn't. You know, the capital costs were huge and the returns made no sense to me. Coming from financial services background, I was doing all the figures. But anyway, so I started researching alternative farming. And during that research, I came across the alpacas. Now, I didn't rush into it. I spent 2 years researching alpacas. And the more research I did into them, the more amazing I found them to be. You know, they're just superior in so many different ways. Like, I'd keep you on the phone for an hour, you know, if I was to go through them all, you know.
Wow. And how many alpacas have you now at the farm?
Well, I have 71 at the moment.
Wow.
And
they're mostly for wool, are they, that you're shearing them then?
Well, most of our business is actually agritourism.
Okay.
So we do our walks, you know, alpaca and prosecco walks. So we have our kids' alpaca experience. We have our therapy work. We visit the care homes. We visit Montessori schools. We're booked for weddings. So we do lots of stuff with our alpacas.
And the alpacas are really sociable, are they? So they enjoy all this.
Yes. And we're very careful in relation to which ones we use, because not all of them would be suitable for it. Like, they're like ourselves. Some of us are more outgoing. Some of them are more introverted.
There you go.
Some of them demand attention. Others don't want attention. So we go according to the individual personality of each individual alpaca.
Okay.
And when we're out and doing our work, we're watching our individual alpacas. You know, sometimes they could be lazy. Sometimes it can be stressed, and we know the difference, and we will not allow them to get into a situation where they're not.
And is there a star of the show, Joe?
Let me see. There's so many, you see. Like, we have one of our girls at the moment. Now, she doesn't do the business, but she'd be well able for it. Her name is Luna.
Okay.
And Luna's beautiful grey alpaca, and she loves attention. You know, she just loves the hugs and rubs, and she's a big, soft ball of fluff, you know? But I'd be unkind to the rest, because they all have different personalities and moods, you know, and I love them all. But there's some of them, sometimes you like the bold ones as well. So
yeah, the like guys humans.
Yeah, exactly, you know.
And then how did the two llamas get on with the 70 plus alpacas?
Oh, the two llamas, Donnie and Rosie, get on really well with the alpacas. We got them in last year as a rescue. And I was a bit nervous about it, because they're a much bigger animal. And when they came for us, they were very shy and they kept away from us. But now they've adapted to us, and they're eating out of our hand. They allow us to rub them and hug them. And they're amazing. And I actually begin to think that they're smarter than alpacas. Like, and alpacas are quite smart. But also Rosie would be about 11. Rosie would be very protective of the alpacas. One day I caught one of the cria, one of the babies, because there's some briars stuck on him. And she saw me catching the cria, and she came running over, you know. So, but she was just coming over to say, "Oh, what are you at?" You know, and I'm minding these guys, you know, just behave yourself, you know. So,
and so Rosie's, what did you say, 11? So, what age do they usually live to, llamas and alpacas?
Yeah. Alpacas and llamas can live up to 25 years.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Okay.
So we have, most of our guys are well away from that yet, but we do have two that would be kind of in their 20s.
Okay.
So one is Donnie the llama, the one, the rescue guys. So he'd be about 20, 21. So, which would be in your 80s in our kind of years. And then we have another girl who would be about 20 as well.
And I'll have to ask you the question, Joe, that I ask anyone who has a unusual pet in their lives, be it a, you know, a rabbit or hens. What do you do when you go on holidays? Do you have someone you can rely on who can feed them all?
Oh, my God, yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's one thing that I hadn't really thought of. So I'm lucky, though. Like, there's a good team here working with me.
Great.
And one of the guys will, once I plan it, will mind the farm for me if I'm away.
But I'd say there's a lot of planning, is there?
I don't get away too often, though.
Well, look, it was lovely to see those pictures in the newspaper a few weeks ago of the alpacas, Stan and Frank, in the nursing home in Cortown in County Wexford. And the residents just seemed so happy in the photos to see them. And I think the minute you see any type of animal, you kind of want to hold out your hand and touch them, don't you? That's what really came across in those photos.
Yeah. Nature and animals really have a way of grounding us, you know. So, and we could see it there that it helps with loneliness, it helps with depression, and it helps with people's general well-being.
Listen, if people are interested in your tours on your farm or maybe booking you to come and visit, how can people get in touch?
Yes, we have both Instagram and Facebook, and we also have our own website, which is k2alpacas.ie, and you can check out the range of services that we have there.
That is K2 Alpacas, and that is Joe Phelan, a.k.a. Alpaca Joe. Should be Llama Joe as well, and hopefully soon to be Camel Joe as well, Joe. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. And K2 Alpacas is in Newtown, Mount Kennedy in County Wicklow.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
Five counties, one station. You are listening to Beat and the Sunday Grill. Of course, this time of the day we do... There he is, breathing deeply. Movie.
I was holding my breath. I was trying not to breathe. I gotta breathe sometimes.
Well, he's really been looking forward to this one. Brian has been to see Minecraft the movie.
A Minecraft movie.
It looks really good, and I love a little bit of Jack Black. I love him.
Yeah.
Jason Momoa, Jack Black, Emma Myers, Jennifer Coolidge, all star. So, what is Chicken Jockey? Am I Steve? I knew he was going to get such a buzz from me saying that. I think I'm going
to sit here staring. Am I Steve?
No, hold on. Let's have some silence because if people want to use me as a viral clip, they can.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Go
on. Hold on. I am Steve.
Oh, my God. Do one more time. I want to actually take a video of you doing this. This is just for myself.
I am Steve. I don't know what I'm talking about. Here, I'll do another one. Chicken Jockey.
Chicken Jockey. Flint and Steel.
Oh, I don't know that one. Oh. So what are those terms? We're about to find out. Let's have a listen to the clip from Minecraft and then we'll chat.
I am Steve. As a child, I yearned for the mines. But something always got in the way.
Go on! Get out of here!
But the call of the mines was too strong. So one day, I started digging and digging until I found this. A wonderland where anything you can imagine is possible. As long as what you imagine can be built out of blocks.
Atta boy!
Where are we?
Wait, who are you again?
Garrett the Garbage Man Garrison. Gamer of the Year 1989. Whatever. I barely think about it.
Welcome to the overworld.
There you go, a little bit of children getting a run back. It'll be a very popular song again now, thanks
time to pretend.
Minecraft. Time to pretend.
I love that
Why
song.
Why did I call that children?
Because you mixed up with Kids by MGMT.
I did. Children. It's time for us to separate as a twosome because you know me too now.
It's a song that I was associated with each other, so that's what I was like. And also you call it children as well, which makes it even funnier.
Anyway, this film, Minecraft, has become an instant blockbuster for Warner Brothers. It grossed $162 million in its domestic debut and a massive $313 million worldwide. It's the biggest video game movie opener in history. I watched so many clips of this and I'm just reading so much about cinemas putting up warnings about TikTok trends and it is brilliant.
Now,
go for it.
I'm going to show you, so I went to see this movie. I was in Sweden. And I went to see it in the cinema that's closest to where they make Minecraft.
Oh, nice.
Which is honestly a massive flex, right?
Oh, no, it's not. It's not like when you went to the Venice Film Festival. Okay. I got so sick of that. That's really impressive.
This was kind of by accident, though, because I didn't realise that I would be in Sweden that weekend.
Okay.
And because I went to see Sabrina Carpenter and then went to see my butt.
And did you know this Minecraft fact when you went to Sweden?
Oh, well, yeah, no. I knew that. I looked at the cinemas and I looked what the nearest ones were anyway. But it was just by chance. But I'm just going to show you what the atmosphere was like and you can do what you want. But
okay. and that's all where the way through Steve the movie. Comes from.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's I Am Steve. So Steve is the name of the main character.
Who's Jack Black?
Who's played by Jack Black? But Steve, like, so in Minecraft, have you ever played Minecraft?
No, I've watched my child play it and then taken it off her.
Oh, okay. So Minecraft is something that I have spent, I would say, most, if you were to be like majority of your life spent doing something, yeah, probably watching films.
Uh-huh. Looking at YouTube.
Oh yeah, well maybe YouTube, films. Honestly, I would even say that Minecraft could be more than films.
Wow.
I have spent thousands of hours playing Minecraft.
Is it a very gender specific thing? Because in a lot of the clips, it's young male kids who are in the cinema.
What the interesting thing I found, so I went to Sabrina Carpenter on the Friday night, and it was 95% girls, mm-hmm, 5% lads. Mm-hmm. Then I went to Minecraft on the Saturday, mm-hmm, and it was 95% lads, 5% girls.
Yeah.
So it was like, it's such an interesting thing to be like, well, it doesn't matter what the natural thing is for people. Like, I'm still at both.
Yes.
But like, I love it. Like, no matter, if this was just an hour and a half of a brick wall, I would have walked out of it being like, this is majestic.
Okay, so it but didn't, it's not a brick wall. It has a premise, and tell us that premise.
So basically, Jack Black is plays a person that's in a, well, he starts off, he's in a job and he's just not enjoying it. He yearns for the mines, which is a meme all over the internet that the children yearn for the mines. And they say in the movie, and everyone obviously went clapping and crazy and everything. Like, they went clapping crazy at everything. It was, honestly, Avengers Endgame, Infinity War and Minecraft are the three best cinema experiences I've ever had.
Okay.
At one stage, people, they were like, it's important to have friendship. And they all started cheering. They cheered for friendship. And I thought it was the funniest thing, honestly. But he's in a job, he hates it. He just, like, he earned, like, when he was a child, he wanted to go mining. And then he went mining then eventually, and he found this portal to Minecraft. So, well, he goes to the Minecraft world and essentially lives a Minecraft world in how you'd normally play the game.
Okay.
So it's like you build your first house and you get together and you go to a village and, mm-hmm, you build up and you build all these random things, mm-hmm, and go crazy and go to the Nether and all these things.
Okay.
These things mean nothing to you. I can tell by the confused and honestly frightened look on your face. So then after a while, the other generation people find the portal and they end up coming into the overworld as well. There's a whole thing of they're trying to get the portal because the evil people in the Nether are trying to take over the main world, whatever.
Now,
right?
Do Minecraft fans know all these people who arrive, or are they just brand new characters?
So there's no humans in Minecraft.
Okay.
There's two characters.
Yeah.
Steve, which has been there since Jack the Black. Beginning. Yeah. Yeah. And then Alex, which is just a female character. Like,
and that's played by Emma Myers, yeah?
No.
Okay.
So Steve is like, for I'm going to say 12 years maybe, there was only one character of Minecraft, just Steve, because it's like, it's just a basic skin. You can change your skin, but that was just the character.
Okay.
And then Alex was added as gender diversity. And then they're like the only two, like they don't have anything. There's nothing. There's zero blank slate in terms of personality. Mm. They don't say anything. They don't do anything. There's nothing special about them. But like, this is the given Steve a personality, okay, essentially.
And then who's Alex in this?
Well.
Oh.
That's in the post-credit scene.
Oh, okay.
Which is when, well, like, I feel like if you knew who Alex is, you're going to see it now.
All right, anyway, go on.
But
now, can I ask a question?
Yeah, of course you can ask me as many questions.
Thank
you
very much. Like, I know nothing about this, but I think I'd actually go and enjoy this. I think I don't need the in-jokes and the...
No, it's made from a point of view where it's explaining Minecraft to people as well. It's almost an ad for Minecraft, but for people that play Minecraft... It's an accurate way of representing it, like, mostly.
Okay.
Like, there's points where they bring in things from the outside world or whatever, but, you know, the criticisms online is that there's no storyline and that, like, it's just kind of people in this place and they're kind of vaguely running around the thing doing random things, mm-hmm, and then they do this and they do that. It's like, mm-hmm, if you've ever played Minecraft...
That is Minecraft.
There is no storyline to Minecraft. Right. You go in, like...
You build stuff.
You could just, like, run around in circles... For the entirety of the world you ever have, and that's a successful world. Do you mean like you could just dig a hole straight down? Like you can do whatever you want. Mm. So it's complete freedom. And if you play with your friends, you'll know that you just end up doing whatever. Everyone ends up just kind of bobbing around, and like the more people that are there, honestly, the less you end up doing because you're just having fun.
Okay.
And it's all about promoting creativity and adventure and just kind of enjoyment. And like everyone wanted this like intense tale, but everyone that like gets it was like, it makes sense that it's just people having fun and being creative, because that's exactly what the game is.
And your Minecraft friends, did they love it too?
I don't actually have that many Minecraft friends, but from what I've seen online, people have really enjoyed
it. Wow, that clip that we played from your experience in Europe when you went to see it.
It was insane.
Yeah.
But it's like, this is the thing. I'm looking at the IMDb there and people are like, you're taking it too seriously. Like, people wanted this. Like, the critics will give it like 50% or whatever. It's like, I don't think, and I'd say it's a criticism I've had of the critics before, that they want this work of art every time. They want this thing that can be put in a museum, and the shots, every shot is beautiful and everything is beautiful and whatever. It's like, this movie is made by people that you can tell just had a ball making it.
Oh, lovely.
And it's like, it's about just enjoying yourself. Like, it's not going to win an Oscar.
Okay.
Like, but is it going to be the kind of film that people will watch and then in 20 years' time, there'll be children being like, oh, that was my favourite movie growing up. Absolutely.
Okay.
So I would say go see it as soon as you can in the cinema with as big of a group of people that you can and have as much fun as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mess up the cinema though for the cinema workers.
Yeah.
But man,
be respectful.
The cheering and the laughing at all the different random bits was so much fun.
Okay, let's black pudding it.
Personally, in terms of a Brian scale, easily 10 out of 10.
Brian scale is what we want.
Easily 10 out of 10.
You don't have to give us another mark.
It's all about the experience.
Yeah.
So the experience for me was 10 out of 10.
Okay, let's leave it there. It is Minecraft. It is out now. It is just blowing records out of the water. 10 out of 10 from Brian. I'm going away on my holidays.
Yeah, oh no, she hasn't mentioned this once.
I haven't mentioned it once on air, but constantly in work.
Oh yeah, okay, sorry. I forgot there's this separate order that tries to be cool on air. And so tell me, how long are you going to be gone for?
A long time. I won't be back for another 3 weeks. I'll see you then.
And tell me then, does that mean that your social media break is going to end while you're on the Camino?
I don't think so. I'm really enjoying my social media break.
Really?
I'm not, because
every time you talk to me, you're like, oh, as you know, I'm not on social media. Like, I'm aware. You don't need to keep telling me. Like,
I know, but I don't know where you are. I usually know by your social media.
That's true.
Goodbye to you, my friend.
Bye.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.